This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, Dom's on vacation today and tomorrow. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Dom. Pleased to be here with you. You may know me from my decades over at the Progressive Magazine or my last stint at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And if you don't know me yet, let's get acquainted. The number to call is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And my co-host today, I'm pleased to announce, is Angela Lang. She's the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's always fun to do this show with you. And we've got Joe Zabecki as our first guest. Joe Zabecki is an all-around good guy and is the founder and CEO of Zabecki Communications. He's a longtime political strategist, Democratic candidate organizer, campaign organizer, very knowledgeable person about communications and about political campaigns. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, let's start off by getting your impression of how Harris did on Fox. Was that a mistake or did she do okay?
I thought it was brilliant to go into the lion's den. You know, we don't remind people enough how much Fox, and I'm not going to use the news word next to Fox deliberately. This is an organization that paid an $800 million settlement for lying about the 2020 election. That's crazy, right? And it wasn't that long ago, but we kind of memory hole it and pretend that they're a standard, typical cable news outlet. They're not. And despite all that, kudos to the vice president for going in there and looking Bret Baier in the eye. And clearly you could tell from the expressions on her face, she was pretty frustrated. But she did what a potential president needs to be able to do, which is have tough conversations, deliver a message, deal with nonsense, call out misinformation when you see it. And I thought she gave as well as she got. I don't know that she persuaded anybody who watches that show normally, but I think there were some additional eyeballs on it. The ratings came in. More than 7 million Americans watched it.
That's a lot.
And good on her. It's a lot. I mean, I think the take I'm most intrigued by, because I don't watch that. I'm assuming you guys don't watch that most days.
Not usually.
But there's this group of former Trump staff who are younger women, and Alyssa Farah Griffin is one of them, worked in communications. She knows that Fox audience better than any of the three of us. And her take on it was, listen, she might not have changed any minds, but there were a lot of women watching Fox, either by choice or because it's what their husbands have on, who saw her last night and went, wait a minute, I was told she was stupid. I was told she had fangs and was evil. That's not the case. And so I think it was a good job, not a home run because it's a really tough environment, but a good job is good enough. And it stands in such stark contrast to Donald Trump, who's afraid to go on 60 Minutes, who's canceling NBC News interviews. And when he is appearing in public these days, isn't making a whole lot of sense.
No.
He's looking like an old guy who needs to be put out to pasture, who's lost his fastball, and that's putting it as politely as I can on the radio.
Yeah, he just canceled a speech to the NRA, I think I saw. So he's canceling everything. Angela, what did you make of it last night?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, when I saw the news that she was doing it, I was like, ugh, I got anxious. And my friends were like, no, she's smart. She can handle it. I was like, it's not that. I just was like, it's just a whole extra thing, as you said, Jay-Z, kind of going into the lion's den. But when I watched it, especially that first question about immigration, I was like, oh, okay, we see what this is. This is like another debate, it feels like. I think for a lot of folks, it didn't feel credible because I think people see that Fox doesn't really live in our same reality, in the same level of facts and science. And so even the the spin to try and fact check her was still inaccurate. I think if folks have been paying attention. But I think there, I was actually pleased to see some of the times she got really passionate when it was, she was defending the American people. And I was like, wow, I think that was like a different level than I think we've seen her. We've seen her speak very passionately before, but this level of like, I'm defending the reputation of and trying to unite the country, I think was like one of the more powerful moments that stuck out to me.
Yeah, I thought that that was a great moment. And I also thought just announcing that my presidency won't be a continuation of Joe Biden's was a really good point. Joe, what did you want to say?
I just want to pick on one little detail that I think kind of gives the game away. Listen, Kamala Harris is not a tall woman. She's not a big woman. And Bret Baier's a pretty good-sized guy. So when you saw the like head-on two-shot of them sitting next to each other, you could see that she's smaller than he is. The way they set up the over-the-shoulder from behind Mr. Baier shot, where it was angled down to make her look even smaller.
I saw that.
It's so silly. It's so stupid.
I was like, that's weird. I noticed it. An untrained eye.
And so it's that kind of stuff that gives away the game. But Angela nailed it. She's tough. Right. And don't take my word for it or even Angela's word for it. I had the opportunity last week to spend a three-state tour with some military veterans, including a woman who was one of the first women to attend West Point. She was in that first class, and over throughout the week, she told the story about how to, out of a class of 1,000 cadets at West Point, that's the military academy in New York, 162 women started that class. Only 62 finished.
Good, must
she was
brutal.
One of them.
Yeah.
She said, she's like, I know tough, and Kamala Harris is tough. So you saw that in the Fox interview, and then you saw it on display again today. It was a very almost surreal moment for me to watch her come out and announce behind the seal of the Vice President of the United States that the leader of Hamas had been killed, and to make a forceful, very presidential-like address and say, this is the moment and the time to end the war in Gaza. Hamas committed that attack on October 7th that started this unrest, chaos, war, all the things in the Middle East. This is the moment. And she looked strong. She looked like what's called national command authority in military parlance. And it is very unusual for a vice president to make that kind of announcement. The most similar one to it I could recall was Barack Obama from the East Room announcing that Navy SEALs had finally brought Osama bin Laden to justice. And so I want to tip my cap to President Biden for sort of being gracious enough to cede the stage to her. He knows that one of the things the American people need to know about her is how tough she is, how ready she is to be commander in chief on day one, and the fact that she used it to push for peace and an end to what's happening in Gaza, I thought was note perfect.
Yeah, we've got a little audio on that. Let's play 2.3, if you would, Jess. This is the vice president at UWM.
That he has talked about turning the American military.
Sorry, you said 2.3?
2.3, yeah.
Please keep going.
Yeah, she was coming out of UWM. She had this news, and then, you know, she said several really important things.
It is time, but
this one.
For the day after to begin without Hamas in power. This moment gives us an opportunity to finally end the war in Gaza. And it must end such that Israel is secure, the hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination.
Yeah, I thought that was the perfect note. I mean, she, you know, she's been much better than Biden in expressing the hopes for Palestinians to get a self-determination in a state of their own. And I think she'll be better on this issue than Joe Biden has been. And I know that. Go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought this was, it was kind of like surreal because it was like, whoa, okay. Also, like, let's be honest, this whole campaign cycle, there has been historic moment after historic moment. So it's kind of like, Oh, wow. But what was notable was, as you said, that she was the one announcing that. And I saw it on social media. I saw it on TikTok first. And the comments were like, why is she announcing? And I was like, oh, I think we all see what that play is. But I think what's also interesting in noting the coverage from her visit as well is that when I knew the rumors were going to be that she was going to be at UWM, I was like, you're not going to escape the students. There is a large encampment. There are student protesters that are still active, that are still very passionately bringing up the issue. And I was wondering how she was going to handle that. And then you have this extra dynamic on that backdrop. It goes to show how important of an issue it is for a lot of young people, a lot of students and Palestinian folks. And I know that every protester that was there today is really going to be looking to see how does this shift the dynamic and does the war and the genocide actually end now?
Yeah, something's got to happen. We can't just keep seeing the suffering. The U.S. can't keep paying for it. Joe Zepecki, you're an expert in communications. We've just got a couple minutes left. What is your best pitch to either people who are on the fence, if there still are a few people on the fence, or how to get the base out?
Well, you got to do both. And where I would start before I get to the pitch is that the remarkable thing that's happening right now is Donald Trump is still only communicating and talking to his base. And Kamala Harris is reaching across to get not just independents, but Republicans. Yesterday, she was on stage with, I don't know, 10 Republicans, from Adam Kinzinger to Chris Shays, people who have said, listen, we don't agree with Kamala Harris on every policy issue, but what is at stake in this election is the future of our democracy. And on that score, there is no contest that if you believe in the American ideals of self-determination, of one person, one vote, of, you know, people petitioning their government for changes and for redress, that is only possible under Kamala Harris's America. It is not possible in Donald Trump's America, where he wants to have peaceful protesters calling for change fired upon by the National Guard. It is not possible in Donald Trump's America, where he believes you should call in the National Guard or the military if necessary to deal with your domestic political opponents. That is un-American. And whether it's those issues, questions of bodily autonomy for women, or the being on the right side of healthcare, or just how to grow the middle class, on issue after issue, this shouldn't be as close as it is. I know we got to wrap and get to break, but I can't hang. My car that I need to get to my next place is delayed.
Oh, that's great. Joe Zepecki will be back. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang, and Joe Zepecki will be right back. Please hang on.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Matt Rothschild here. I just came in from the bullpen for Dom because Dom's on vacation today and tomorrow. I'll be here both days. And today I'm joined co-hosting with Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Welcome back, Angela.
Of course.
And we're pleased to have staying over here, Mr. Joe Zepecki of Zepecki Communications. He's got to go to his kids' sporting event soon, but he's waiting on his car, so he's nice enough to stay over. And right before the break, Joe, you were talking about Kamala Harris appealing to Republicans, and we have a little bit of audio from Dale Schultz, who's a former Republican leader here in Wisconsin. He was Senate Majority Leader, and he's come out for Kamala Harris. So we'll play just two clips, short clips of that.
All right. This first one is just giving a little background, who he is, how he's voted, and how he'll be voting this cycle.
after 50 years in politics, 32 years in the state legislature as a proud Republican, I am throwing my support to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in their quest for the White House.
Well, there you have that.
Well, there you have that.
And then he's urging everybody to, everyone he knows to do the same.
Everyone supported him. All right, let's take a listen.
I hope that my friends and neighbors who so generously supported me for those 32 years will pay attention to the issues, listen to the candidates, and come to a conclusion that the Harris-Walz team is the best for our future, and we'll get out and vote. I'll say it again, we'll get out and vote because it is so important. Our future depends on it.
I mean, bravo to Dale Schultz for sticking his neck out on it. There are not many Republicans in Wisconsin who are doing that. Certainly Tommy Thompson isn't doing it. Joe Zepecki, what do you think the impact of a Dale Schultz saying that or the Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger folks coming out for Harris? What do you think the impact of that is?
Well, I don't think it's going to mean that Kamala Harris wins 49 states, and I would never suggest that. That is not the divided country in which we live, but it's an important part of an overall, what we call a permission structure, that we know that in the wake of January 6th, we know that in the wake of the Dobbs decision, that there were Republicans across the country who just, at one of those moments or after both of them said, enough, I can't do it anymore. I spoke to a group in Madison yesterday. I would say mostly Republican. These are people who work in transportation. And I reminded them, and I saw a lot of nodding heads. Every single one of us knows a Republican who either they or someone they know is telling us they can't get there when it comes to Trump this time. On the flip side of that, I've been doing this for almost 25 years now. I'm not a young man that I once was. And I've got like my godparents who have always supported what I've done, but never been the most political folks, reaching out totally out of the blue today to say, hey, how do we go see Kamala Harris in Green Bay? And so whether it's that, whether it's folks I coach with who, you know, their wives and partners are going like, hey, what's going on? Like there is a genuine interest from people who are not that political in this election. And you have Republicans from Dale Schultz and Liz Cheney on down who are saying enough. We cannot have someone with this level of chaos and so such a down view of America. I mean, I just like, let's play a little game for a second. Angela, how do you think it would have gone if President Barack Hussein Obama got on a stage and was like, Detroit is an asshole. Like, this place is garbage. You think that would have gone well?
No. I think maybe front page of a couple local papers.
I mean, it's astonishing, right? Like, the way he down-talks America is unprecedented, and that word has kind of lost its meaning in the age of Trump. But what he's really talking about there, what he's giving away is it's all about him. Because if he were to win this election on January 21st of 2025, he would say America is great again, as if America's greatness is determined by who occupies the Oval Office and not by this melting pot of humanity that makes up America, of people waking up and putting in the work every single day, of struggling to get ahead and do better than their parents did and better for their kids than their parents did for them. That is the American story. And he doesn't understand that. He thinks it's all about him, and it's how he acts, it's how he talks, it's what his policies, you know, reflect, because he wants to give another tax cut, but it's not to you and me. He wants to give another tax cut to his billionaire and uber millionaire friends. And we know this because he told them that, and we have the sound and the moving pictures to associate with it. So it's not about America. It's not about we the people. It's always about him. And I think that is what's revealing itself. And in the next 18 days, he can cancel all the interviews he wants. He can't hide from the fact that he is not who he used to be. He has lost not a step. He's lost a lot of steps. He has gotten increasingly angry. His rhetoric is getting even more dangerous, you know, for every American, but particularly for Americans of color, our brothers and sisters who are LGBTQIA+. Like, He is creating a dangerous environment. And in the last 18 days of this race, the American people who are still making up their minds, who tend to be people who are not like us, who are probably not listening to this show, are just kind of tuning in. Oh, yeah, there's an election in a couple weeks. Let's check in for these last few days. They're going to see what has become of Donald Trump, and they are not going to like what they see, which is why Kamala Harris going on Fox, potentially doing Joe Rogan, going on Call Her Daddy. This is how you meet people where they are. She's running as good a campaign as any of us on the left could have hoped for.
Totally.
Now we just got to hope it works and get out the vote. And people are voting. A couple hundred thousand people have already voted absentee by mail in Wisconsin. And starting Tuesday, people can vote in person early absentee. So there's work to be done. Donald Trump could still win this race, but today you would much rather be Kamala Harris or a Kamala Harris supporter.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. That buoys my spirits. Early voting starts next Tuesday. Let's underline that. Early in-person voting. And so we'll be back after a short break. Joe, I want to thank you for hanging on for an extra session here. And Angela, I want to get more of your input on this dangerous environment that Trump is causing for all of us, but especially people of color. You're listening to The Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting here with Angela, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jay-Z. Awesome.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you, subbing in here today because Dom Salvia is on vacation. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. You can call if you want to talk to us at 855-752-4842. Co-host today is Angela Lang. She's the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, it was great hearing from Joe Zepecki, wasn't it?
It was. And fun fact, I met Jay-Z in 2016 because we worked together once upon a time. And I learned a lot great of comms tips from him. So it was good to have him on the show.
Yeah, it was a pleasure for me. I'm an old comms guy, too. So it's like comparing notes.
Yep.
And I'm thrilled now to have in the studio with me Eloisa Gomez. She's a public speaker on the topics of Latino voting rights and early Latina activism in Wisconsin. Actually, she's the co-author of Somos Latinas, Voices of Wisconsin Latina Activists that the Wisconsin Historical Society Press published. And here's the fun fact, Eloisa, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here.
The fun fact is I quoted from Somos Latinas in my book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. So there's a double plug for you, whoa, ladies and gentlemen.
Wonderful. Thanks for doing that.
Several years ago, Eloisa helped found and is still active with El Comité por el Voto Latino, Latinx Voter Outreach Committee of the League of Women Voters of Milwaukee County. So welcome. And I wanted to talk to you about how you're engaging Latino voters right now.
Okay. Well, thanks. We started with the League of Women Voters of Milwaukee County, started El Comité por el Voto Latino in the fall of 2017. We began that meeting, and I think Angela might have been there at our first meeting. You remember, Angela?
Okay, I do. It's all coming back. When I was thinking about it, I was like, I think I was there.
Yes, and I do remember you being there. And at that time, we decided you know, we asked the question of both league members and non-league members, people from the Latino community, do we want to form a committee under the League of Women Voters of Milwaukee County to do outreach into the Latino community? The answer was definitively yes. And we really wanted to have a focus on, you know, the whole population, the populations of the Latino community. We wanted to focus a little bit more on the youth. So what we have been doing ever since is really advocating for as much bilingual and culturally relevant materials as possible, because a lot of the community really has been asking for, had been asking for that information. We felt that by providing the bilingual, culturally competent materials, that that could make a difference in terms of voter outturn and during the elections.
And is this bilingual and culturally relevant information that you want the Wisconsin Elections Commission to distribute, or that you're talking about the league itself, was League of Women Voters is going to distribute?
All the above, because we really want it to be into everybody's hands. You know, we create the materials. Again, they're nonpartisan. The league is a nonpartisan organization. We have, you know, through the work with El Comité, our idea is to distribute the information once we create it, and then get it into hands of both government agencies, nonprofit organizations, schools, community groups, you name it. We would love for them to have it.
Now, right now, during this lead up to the election, which is just 18 days away, what's the energy level at the grassroots in Latino communities in Wisconsin, or specifically in Milwaukee where you're working?
Well, there's a whole kind of group. There's a lot of groups working to provide the information into the community. Groups like Voces de la Frontera are out there engaging in the community in a whole variety of ways. Our comité, through the league efforts, we're out there partnering with a variety of community organizations, because one of the things that we realized over the years is that when we work with a trusted community partner, that information is more likely to be accepted, and people willing to look through the material and say, gosh, this might be a credible source for us to then make some decisions on voting. So to get to the trusted organizations is part of our big challenge, is to make sure that we can reach them and have them work with us in getting the word out to people.
And you mentioned one of those trusted organizations is Voces de la Frontera.
Yes, Voces is one of them, but it's kind of interesting because there's a number of neighborhood organizations. Okay, they may not have the information on the elections, you know, the specifics, but they will ask us, including Voces and other groups, say, you know, provide us with it, because there's, outside of the League of Women Voters, there's not a lot of nonpartisan, bilingual, and culturally appropriate materials to distribute. So we're kind of a good go-to source for that.
And you said you wanted to focus on youth in the Latino community. Are you seeing excitement, energy among youth who want to get out and vote this time around?
You know, there's, you know, in any one category, there's really kind of no one group kind of viewing things the same way. We're seeing it on college campuses. Yeah, I want to get out and vote. But there's a lot of realities for our young people, which is, you know, we're just making it day by day. We've got two jobs. We may have a family. We have other kinds of responsibilities. And those are harder to reach populations, particularly if they're renting in apartments. How do we reach them? You know, we have done doors, but mostly when we're invited into the community, we distribute the information. So we don't always reach the populations we should. I think in some categories, I have to be honest, I think that there isn't an enthusiasm that we hope would be there. And we recognize that. And that's part of what we understand our challenges to be, is finding ways to reach people where they're at.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about doing that, you know, at the door, for instance?
We create marketing materials that aim at younger people. We put more on social media, through Instagram, Well, Facebook, I understand, is not the big place for our younger people, but we do have TikTok and other kinds of resources out there. We're creating more video clips. And even our younger people who may be primarily English speaking, to me, when we provide our information in Spanish, it's a code word for our community to say, okay, I'm primarily English speaker, but you're out there to reach our community. And so that carries a lot more weight, even if that person is not primarily Spanish speaking.
Angela, you're doing similar work in the Black community. And are you facing, you must be facing similar issues to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always like a information gap, right? And I'll admit, one, the League does amazing work. And I think they are a credible, reputable organization that, you know, sometimes if people are knocking doors and they're like, I don't want to hear the spin or the bias, the League is actually one of the places that I direct folks to with like the candidate questionnaires and all of that information. And so the League has been an incredible resource, I think, to a lot of grassroots organizations and the content that is put out, especially here in Wisconsin as well. I think one thing, you know, I'm sure you're probably encountering this as well, is that a lot of folks don't know that there's a question on the ballot in November. And I think a lot of folks, obviously, a lot of oxygen is getting sucked up by the presidential campaign and maybe the Senate race if folks are really paying attention. But can you explain a little bit more about what folks should know about that question? The League has put out a statement and stances, and there's a whole letter that Block had signed on to. But can you explain for listeners that don't know exactly what that ballot measure is and how maybe potentially how people should think about it?
Thank you. One of the things that we're doing is to actually hand out the ballot itself as a sample. We said, you know, take this ballot. It's not yours. It's just a sample of what it's going to look like. And let's turn it over to the backside. So here you've got your candidates on the first side, and on the backside, we're going to show you what this question is. And we're going to, and for us, Angela, we're gearing it towards the Latino community. So we'll say, okay, we're going to use the word every and only, and we're going to say that this is an example of where the law exists already for eligible voters, but there are, this is an example where perhaps the intent is to make it harder for groups to be able to vote. So if the law already exists as it is, where eligible voters are there to be able to take full opportunity of their right as voters, then why do we need this particular amendment? And we I say to them, and all of my colleagues have been saying in English and in Spanish, is that we have taken this position, but you do your homework. Take a look at this. Make your decision not just necessarily based on our position, but the other information you would want to look at in terms of deciding for yourself what you want to do. And I just want to make another point, which is so many people, not just Latinos, but so many people don't actually preview their ballot in advance. So I'm really glad you brought that up, Angela, because I think it's just an example where you have full opportunity over a month in advance to preview your ballot. And people do think that it's due diligence by just showing up and looking at the ballot for the first time and making some decision. And that's one of the things we try to coach them on. It's like, don't wait until you're making a decision to vote. Look at it in advance. And Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, has the bilingual ballot. So they can look at that information in either in English or in Spanish. And I think that that will equip them better if they were to look at it before they go into the go the day of to vote or whenever they're going to be voting.
That's good
advice. We got to do our homework.
Yeah.
Good advice from Eloisa Gomez of the League of Women Voters in Milwaukee. The League of Women Voters is urging people to vote no on this constitutional amendment.
Yes, we have taken that position.
And the reason for that is it's not necessary, as you were saying. Is there another reason why?
I think that there's a number of reasons what we have stated publicly on our website and in other areas, but we do believe that this is one aspect of a voter suppression effort, and so and it is unnecessary, so we have stated that publicly.
Yeah, and I think it's just another effort by Robin Voss and the Republicans in the legislature to drum up bigoted sentiments against immigrants and Latinos in the state, just kind of riding that anti-immigrant fervor that the Republicans have been whipping up, unfortunately. You mentioned voter suppression. There was a notorious comment by Bob Spindell of the Wisconsin Elections Commission after the 2022 election. He was bragging about suppressing turnout among blacks and Latinos in Milwaukee. How did you react to that statement?
You know, it's not about me. I think this is... that was a surprise comment that could be, he said it was misinterpreted as said. You know, to me, this is about an ongoing commitment towards expanding people's understanding of what it takes to be in this democracy. Angela used the word doing our homework. Doing your homework isn't just, you know, looking and understanding the ballot beforehand. It's understanding what is democracy. And I feel that, and I think the League strongly feels that the more we provide opportunities to share important information, the more we have a more informed citizenry.
Angela, do you want to state your opinion on that Bob Spindell notorious statement?
For folks that have been longtime listeners on various shows, you know, I think I was incredibly frustrated when Bob Spindell had said that. And I think even taking out, you know, the political nature of it, I think there's something to be said that someone that helps administer our elections is bragging about lower turnout. To me, that just goes to show that you're not taking your job seriously, because we should always be striving to have almost 100% voting. And so to me, it just said he didn't do his job. And that means we have to do ours that much more harder.
Yeah, and he should be off the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yes.
I once attended one of their hearings and demanded that he resign. Of course, he didn't. Yes. But anyway, I'm speaking with Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities and Eloisa Gomez from the League of Women Voters. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Matt Rothschild, thanks for hanging around this afternoon. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's on vacation today and tomorrow, so I'll be with you tomorrow, too. And I'm joined today by Angela Lang, who's the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, it was wonderful to hear from Eloisa Gomez. She's been fighting the good fight for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things about the League is that they really just try to find a way to just educate the community. And I was involved with them when I had a little bit more time on my hands a few years ago, which is how I went to that meeting. But they provide so many just like important like resources. And I think now, yes, we're all hyper-partisan, but I think there's a real value in nonpartisan organizing and what we call C3 groups, such as the League, because there's so much mis and disinformation that's going on everywhere. And to be able to find an unbiased, but yet, you know, educated stance on things and resources, I think is incredible. And like I said, Block has used their social media content and their resources on their website a lot, and it helps our community because it's really easy. And like I said, especially now when there's so much mis and disinformation out there.
Totally. I mean, the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is one of the best nonprofit pro-democracy groups you're going to find. And their leadership at the top from Deborah Cronmiller is tremendous. The local chapters are great. I used to get invitations all across the state, up to Door County, over to Eau Claire, La Crosse, down to, you know, Racine, everywhere to talk to league chapters. And they are populated by really dedicated people who are very concerned about civic dialogue, civil dialogue, and democracy issues. And they're just doing great work. And a lot of them are poll workers, too. And so it's just tremendous people at the League of Women Voters. My hat's off to them. If you want to join our conversation, now is a good time. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've got Mark from the SAC on the line. Mark, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I see I guess they were released earlier, but I saw today the slate of Republican electors. And I see Brian Schimming is on the at-large, that was just kind of galling to me, concerned. He was probably involved in setting up for the whole fake electors thing last time. And I don't know if the county district attorney there was one of the attorneys that wasn't going to be prosecuting fake electors or not. I think Eric Toney, I think, is that one. And it is just galling to me that we had to worry about the whole fake electors thing once again, because, you know, Donald Trump is you know, that, you know, another few bricks short of a full load. It sounds like he's just steadily declining, and I fully expect there's some chicanery that's going to go on in this election as well.
Well, you know, I'm with you on the false electors, Mark, and thanks for the call. I wish Josh Call was going to be prosecuting the false electors themselves. He's only going after a couple of the lawyers who helped them. But I think he's been letting these false electors off the hook more so than other attorney generals in other states. And I think that's being too cautious by our state attorney general here. Everyone who is involved in this conspiracy, up including Scott Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson, should be investigated by Josh Call. We just can't have this kind of fraud against our democracy continue. Fortunately, we've got Jack Smith finally getting off the pot on this and going after these guys. I mean, it was our U.S. Attorney General who was at fault for not going after him fast enough. And so finally, Jack Smith's doing it despite the headwinds from the U.S. Supreme Court. We need justice in this country. We need justice in this state. No one should be able to tamper with our democracy the way the folks were tampering with it on January 6th. Angela, what's your view on all that?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a huge concern. I think a lot of us organizers are let's be honest, these conversations have been happening for a while, but I think a lot of organizers in my circles across the country are kind of preparing for any type of nonsense that may come up in terms of either certification or January 6th and Inauguration Day. And you know, every time I talk to national press, they're like, oh, what, like local voter suppression? Every single interview, I remind them that we have a fake elector on our Wisconsin Election Commission. And here we are 4 years later, who still has that role.
It's the very same Bob Spindell, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like we're still here, you know, 4 years later, and the threats still remain because we haven't actually moved to action and justice and accountability. So fingers crossed, there may be some actions in the days and weeks after the election, depending on, you know, what Trump decides to do. And I think there'll be times, especially folks that are listening, are able to move to action to make sure that we're counting all of our votes. We're counting and respecting our votes, and we understand that political process, and that won't be tampered or interfered with.
And I'm glad you and other groups are working this problem. You know, I hear a lot of people expressing the same fear that there's going to be, you know, a lot of messing around going on again. And I try to comfort people by saying, well, last time Trump was in control of everything. You know, he was in control of the Justice Department. He was in control of the military, and he could have and almost did anything he wanted to overturn the election. This time, you know, it's different. Joe Biden's in the White House. We've got a Justice Department that's on task here. We've got everyone who's aware now of the risks. If there was anyone naive last time around, they shouldn't have been naive last time around. I know I was screaming my throat, you know, sore, telling people that these guys are fascists and they'll do anything to stay in power. And people thought I was crazy. But yeah, and other
and
people, yeah, other people were warning too. It wasn't just me. But now we know what we're up against and what we're facing. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back, Angela and I, on the Dom Salvia Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and happy to take your calls.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.